smartphone, DSTV channel 856 and on 92.7 and 106 FM.
This is 702.
7:34. Thanks so much to the EWN team for that update. And it's time to talk sustainable living. Joining me in studio is Caro Tapson, film and photographic producer, as well as founder of Seedling Stokvel, as we introduced her last week. Caro, morning. Thanks for coming in.
Morning, Refilwe. Thank you.
Caro, today we're talking about what to do with homegrown produce, right? So I'm told one of the joys of summer is homegrown sweet corn. Wouldn't know anything about it. Picked right outside your back door and plopped straight into a pot of boiling water or onto the grill. Sounds so yummy. Oh, so essentially today we're talking about just, you know, obviously the advantage of having a homegrown garden is that you're able to pick and savor, you know, all your own vegetables. You've put in all this effort and time into tending these veggies. And now that it's time to harvest them, maybe you've gotten a good crop and maybe you're not one to disperse endlessly to family and friends and neighbors. How do you, well, you know, the best ways to go about harvesting and storing those homegrown veggies, because ultimately that's the whole point, isn't it? To derive some the most value as possible after putting in all that hard work.
Absolutely. Yeah. And as you said, you've put in all this time and energy, and I think that's like the key, because it takes a lot of time and energy to actually grow your own homegrown produce.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to mention this concept of zoning your garden, because some people get into growing their own produce. Some people are sort of like more involved already and some people are starting out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the biggest shock for a lot of people when they start out is that it does take so much time and energy. And it is kind of like long term to, harvesting.
Yeah.
So this idea of zoning your garden... zone zero is like the home, mm-hmm. and literally what the space that's closest to the home, and what you would grow in that zone is the kind of stuff that you would use almost every day, like if you're making a salad, you know, if you like salads, for
example. So you're more like herbs and those kinds of things.
Exactly. Yeah? So stuff that you would like go out and snip and just use fresh.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And then zone five is the zone, it's kind of like the wild zone. So everything between zone zero and zone five mm-hmm. are... you're growing things that are further away from your home and things that you would use at like a lower frequency. So for example, fruit trees, you know, fruit trees provide fruit at a certain time of the year. They don't do it all throughout the year.
Yeah.
So that kind of form of produce you would grow further away from the home.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to your zone zero, which is where you're going to have your kitchen garden, where you're growing your fresh stuff,
mm-hmm.
and that's exactly what you're going to be using it fresh. So your lettuces, your rockets, your herbs, mm-hmm. Picking it all throughout the year.
Like that concept.
Yeah, and as we all know, we're talking about like seasonal fruits and veggies, and that's it. Like in summer, you're picking stuff that's different to what you would in winter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so stuff that you're growing in your kitchen garden, you're generally using fresh.
Yeah.
And then at different times of the year, for example, in summer, you're growing beans, tomatoes, aubergines, squashes, mm-hmm. that sort of stuff that you would either use fresh or then you can freeze.
Yeah.
So like people, as you were saying, like people find themselves in this position where they're growing beans in summer and then like there's the bean plants are providing beans and now like they can't possibly eat that many beans.
Yeah.
So they start giving it away to their family and you're giving away everything that you've like worked so hard to produce.
So what, I mean, the best, you know, sort of best practice for making sure that you freeze or store your vegetables, because, you know, I'm guessing you're going to give me tips over and above rinse, chop, put in a bag, put away, right? What's best practice in this instance?
So different kind of vegetables require different methods of storing.
Yeah.
So for example, green beans, broccoli, any of your green sort of fruit producing vegetables, you actually blanch before you freeze them. So you would mm-hmm. pick them. And mm-hmm. then, you know, you could like sort of top and tail beans, for example. And then by blanching, you would toss them into a boiling pot of water mm-hmm. for like a flash boil
mm-hmm.
and then immediately into a bowl of ice water.
Why do we blanch?
I think it just preserves the cell structure of the vegetable.
Uh-huh.
So when it goes into the freezer, it doesn't, the cell doesn't squash.
Okay.
So you don't come out with like a mushy bean when you take it out of the freezer to actually cook it.
All right. So, okay. So this is all in order to maintain cell structure. Nutrients as well. because it's a flash boil, you're not draining anything, losing anything. It all remains intact.
Yeah. You're not losing nutrients, exactly that, because you're not sort of simmering it for a long time.
Yeah.
And then, so tomatoes, for example, you would not do that because they will turn into a complete mushy mess in your freezer. So tomatoes, you have various options. You can dry them in a dehydrator. You can bottle them into, you know, very much like how you would buy canned tomatoes in the shop, but you could do them in bottles instead. And chutneys, relishes, you sort of sauce, tomato sauce.
Yeah.
So different vegetables require a different level of storing.
Yeah.
Aubergines, for example, really the only way to store them is to, you could pickle them and bottle them as well into like a marinated aubergine.
What to do with baby marrow?
Baby marrow also blanch and freeze. Mm-hmm. They also tend to go quite mushy if you're just freezing them straight.
So I see you're talking about things like clamping and other simple storage, right? What do you do in those instances, or what do you recommend when it comes to simple storage?
So simple storage, I mean, obviously your most basic storage is going to be in your fridge.
Yeah.
So homegrown salads, they actually last in your fridge much longer than any shop-bought salad would.
Yeah.
So people often say like, oh yes, I went to Woolworths and it's bizarre how long my vegetables last in my fridge. And there are like irradiation processes that those vegetables goes through. But it's not abnormal for homegrown produce to actually last really long.
Yeah. And the reason for that is what? It hasn't traveled, what is that?
So I think it's the moisture content, you know, homegrown vegetables have got a high moisture content, so that's what literally keeps them alive in like a fridge.
Okay, cool. Using sweetness for preserving, that would be in what, jams, preserves?
So that's like that would be almost your zone three kind of plants, like the fruits. You're not harvesting fruits all year long. So in December, for example, when my plum tree is providing like tons and tons of plums, it's impossible to eat them all at the same time. So jams is like my go-to way for processing fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And then sugar is really the preservative.
Yeah.
And I mean, making jams is a very South African, tradition. And you can do that with any of your soft fruits.
Yeah.
Anything from apples, peaches, apricots, plums.
So more work after all that hard work of planting.
Lots of
Thanks,
work. But there's not a lot of hard work involved in growing fruit, you know. There's a sort of pruning and fertilizing and watering your trees.
Uh-huh.
And that's another thing that I wanted to mention is that you are going to you can choose your level of engagement with the produce that you grow. So, for example, fruit trees, you can plant a fruit tree today. You're not really going to see the fruits of your...
Reap the benefits of your labor.
Yeah, until like 2-3 years down the line.
Yeah.
And there's not that much work involved. So you can choose at what level you want to engage with your garden and how much effort you want to put in.
Yeah. Okay, fantastic. And actually, in terms of home preserves, shelf life, what are we looking at?
So different produce, different shelf life. A lettuce, for example, you cannot store in a cupboard.
Yeah.
You know, you can keep it in the fridge for like 2-3 weeks, but you can also just keep it in the garden. That's the best way of keeping it in the fridge.
But I mean, this would be with regards to preserves that I've made for myself and they're in my pantry. What am I looking at? I mean, we're obsessed with sell-by dates, best before, sell-by, you know, all these things. And if you don't, I don't know what the mechanics of that are in the store or in a factory, how do I make that decision at home?
Yeah, very long time. So, I mean, I've still got
dip a finger in and taste.
So
dip a finger in and taste and you'll know whether
or
not it's
that's
good.
The thing. If you're canning and bottling, the longer, if you want to keep it for years and years, you can, but then it's got to remain sealed. Once you break the seal, it opens it up to the air, you know, oxygen, and then it starts to...
That must be used.
Yeah.
All right, fantastic. If you want to weigh in on the conversation, give us a call, 011-883-0702. Otherwise, you can send me an SMS on 31702. I've got Cara Tapson in studio. And we're talking about, you know, the best ways of storing and preserving homegrown fruit and veg successfully after you've put in all that hard work of going ahead and growing your own food. Now, here's something. You've given us a few tips on freezing, Caro. And what is this about rotating produce in your freezer? Oh my goodness. Why?
rotating produce in your freezer.
Yeah. Do you do that? Is it something you have to worry about and take care of? Is it a thing for you?
No, yeah. Well, I mean, I tend to eat what's in my freezer. So yeah. I guess that's like a level of rotation. But rotating crops in my garden, for
yeah.
sure.
Mm-hmm.
But no, not so much. You know, the thing is, you're not going to, you know, you're quite limited in terms of how much you're going to be getting from your garden.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I grow enough green beans, for example, that it doesn't last me throughout winter when I've frozen my summer crop.
Yeah.
Obviously, because we eat it, and we're also limited on how much freezer space we've got.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, when the winter crops come around, we've mm-hmm. got new things that we're starting to harvest and blanch and freeze.
All right, fantastic.
So sort of by nature of the use of food in the kitchen, you're going through what you have.
Yeah.
And I think that's another point, is like, choose to grow stuff that you're actually going to eat.
Mm.
If you don't like courgettes, don't grow courgettes, because
yeah.
you're not going to be inclined to actually make the best use of them. So all of that energy and time that you've put in is mm. not really going to be worth it for you. So choose crops that you're actually, that you love eating, and or that you want to experiment with in terms of canning and preserving.
Absolutely. And as I let you go, in terms of meal prep as well, can you start to incorporate to do that rather on a long-term basis? Is meal prepping ideal for just a sort of beginning of the week? You lay everything out, or you prepare your ingredients for, or cook your meals for just 1 week out, or is it something that you can do over a longer, more sustained period?
So I meal prep not every month, because mm-hmm. you know, my timetable and my schedule changes from month to month, but there are months when I know things are going to be quite hectic, and I literally meal prep a whole month of meals in
yeah.
advance, and you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
There's some really useful, I found actually quite American sites tend to be very geared towards this idea of, there's like a site called The Freezer Family,
mm-hmm.
Where it's a guideline for how to prep your meals in advance. And it's so economical, because it saves you on time, it saves you energy on cooking, because mm-hmm. you're kind of cooking in bulk. And you can prep a whole month's worth of meals in advance,
mm-hmm.
Which is really useful at a time when you're harvesting a crop as well, because you can choose a whole, like, multiple ways of using that.
Yes, it is.
And then plan accordingly. You don't sort of have to think of something new every afternoon or evening when you're prepping supper.
All right, fantastic. Kara Tapson, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
We'll catch up again soon, hopefully. 7:46, hope you've gleaned some cool tips from that conversation. Send those SMSs to 31702. You're listening to the Sunday edition of Weekend Breakfast.